Now, I've got a question to you all. Are you a sinner? Wow, that was good. Wow. Yeah, because I think we can identify with a lot of sins, like, do we get jealous? Yeah. Are we jealous of our brothers or sisters at times? Have you been jealous? I have. Are we jealous of our children having things, or other children having things that we don't have? We don't always tell the whole truth, do we? And we fight with each other. We don't like losing and we get irritable when things don't go our way. We complain and whinge when we need to be patient. We're not always fair when having turns at something. We will grab things, food, lollies and lots more, and not make sure that others have something before ourselves. We lie with little lies and big lies, but they're all just as bad. We enjoy seeing others get into trouble. We always want to be first in everything. We get proud and look down on others. We treat some children better than others. We can be bullies and pick on our brothers and sisters and on other children as well. And we can gossip about children. We don't always share. We can be greedy. We can be unkind to other children. We can fail to obey our parents. We can keep watching TV when our parents say to stop. And we won't clean our room up when Mum says to clean it straight away. We can fail to do our duties at home. Wow, the list just goes on and on and on. And do you know what? What about school? Oh, we could have another list there, couldn't we? Yeah. And what about the hidden sins in your heart, the way we think of people? Even bad thoughts of other people means our heart gets corrupted. The list gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Then what about when we do these things repeatedly and we keep doing the wrong thing again and again and again? Well, the answer is this, as you said. Are you a sinner? Yes. The answer is?
Yes.
Yes. You are a sinner. You're all sinners. In fact, this house of God is full of sinners. When you look around, all you see is sinners. We are all sinners. Did you think you were good? Did you think you were good? We are all sinners. Wow. Could we have the first slide? Teaching children about sin. Now, I'm going to talk to the parents here. There are so many important and necessary things that we teach our children. From time to time, they are babies. We spend countless hours saying, no, don't touch. Hold my hand. And don't put things in your mouth. We teach them to look both ways before crossing the street, to share with others and to pick up their toys when they've finished with them. But one of the great lessons we need to teach our children is that they are sinners. We've got a sin problem. We've got a real sin problem. Our sin problem isn't just that we sin from time to time. If that were the case, we just need to try harder not to sin. Our sin problem is not that we sin because we live in a bad environment. Sometimes people think, oh, it's because where we live, or it's because of others that we sin. Our sin problem goes all the way back to Genesis 3, all the way back in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden. Wow. It goes all the way back through to our first parents, Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, you know, got tempted and they sinned. And from that time on, we've got a problem, a sin problem. Ever since then, we've all been born with a sin nature. So it's not just that we commit sins, but it's also that we are sinners. Sin is filled into our very being, filled like it's part of us. And it fills our hearts to everything we think and what we feel and say and do. And Isaiah says that even our good deeds are like dirty, filthy rags. Wow. Our nature, this is how we normally, this is what's deep down in us, is we are, our flesh, or what the Bible calls the flesh, or our nature, is that of a sinner. We need a new nature inside of us. Where could that come from? What are we going to do? God, help us! We've got to cry out to God. Only God can help us. How can we change? How can we have a new nature inside us? I've got a question. Who was born in a hospital here? I was. Anyone else born in a hospital? Okay. Who was born in a car or an ambulance? Maybe Nick may have had it. Have you ever had someone been born in the ambulance? No, not yet. Who was born in a garage? Anyone? No one? Who was born in a shed? Anyone? No one. Who was born in a humble stable, smelly stable? Could we have the next slide? Ah. Jesus was born in a humble stable. How's that? In a stable. Can you imagine you, your mum, before you're born, being driven by taxi to a stable? That would not happen, would it? No. Mum would be going to a hospital where they had lovely beds and have the care and all doctors and nurses and all the equipment. Wow. Now, I know they didn't have equipment in those days, but wow, to be born in a stable, isn't that the most humble thing? Isn't that incredible? Our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, now, then if we say Jesus is the answer, how? How can Jesus be the answer? How can he be the answer? Well, let's think about Jesus as a child. Can we have the next slide? And there's a verse there. Now, we don't know, the Bible doesn't say much about Jesus and about his life as a child. And the child grew and became strong. And I think the strong means strong in character, very strong in character. And he was filled with wisdom. Just imagine that, filled. Not just having wisdom, but filled with wisdom. Wow, that means he makes all the right choices, all the right decisions. Do you know, I reckon that's why his mum at the marriage at Canaan, remember there was a marriage that Jesus went to and they ran out of wine? And you know what the mum said to the servants? Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And I sort of pondered about that. What? I reckon she didn't, I don't think she knew that he was going to perform a miracle. But do you know what I reckon? I reckon that she had trusted him over the years, that he had always a wise decision and he always made the best choices. And he was like, and after his father died, I think Jesus would have been the head of the house in a way, and he would have looked after his brothers and sisters. And his mother said to Jesus, this is when Jesus was older, do whatever he tells you to do. And I think that really says something about her trust in her son, that she could see something very special in this son. Anyway, and so he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him. And the grace, I think, is God's good favour and his goodwill was a big part of Jesus. Can we go to the next slide? So this boy, Jesus, he felt things like you. He felt pain. If he was stung by a creature, he would feel pain. If it was really super cold, he would feel cold like you would. He would get hungry. He was just like you. But you know what? There's something about Jesus. He had such wisdom because you know what? I think at a very early age, he was listening to his father, not Joseph. Which father am I talking about? Yes? Our heavenly Father. You've got a... Hands up those who've got a father. Yeah, you've got a father. But you've also got a heavenly Father who's in heaven. And he's your heavenly Father. And anyway, I think Jesus became like this, closer and closer to his father. Because guess what? Jesus was in the temple at the age of 12 years old. His family went to a feast, and while there was all these celebrations going on and people were meeting with their families, and then they started to go home, Jesus' mum and dad, Joseph and Mary, thought, oh, Jesus is probably with with some of the other family, with other relatives, and he's going home. He wasn't. And they'd been travelling for a whole day. That's a long way. And then they suddenly discover, Jesus, where is Jesus? Where is he? And then they start asking people, going to all the relatives, where is Jesus? Well, guess what? Where was Jesus? He'd gone into the temple. And he'd been spending there, I don't know, it must have been several days. And you think, where did he sleep at that time? He must have just believed that his father would provide him with sleep and with food and a place to stay. He was not concerned about anything. He just walked with his father. And there he was in the temple, talking with all these men, engaging in conversation with them, and he was talking at their level. And they marveled. And it says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God to be in the temple, which is called his Father's house. And that's why he said to his mum and dad, oh, why didn't you know that I'd be in my Father's house? He wasn't talking about Joseph's house. He was talking about his heavenly Father. So you can see Jesus was already joined to his Father, heavenly Father. And you know, one of the things why I'm really talking about Jesus is because you as a child and me and everyone here, we're all sinners. But guess what? Did you know that Jesus never ever sinned? Do you know he never sinned? He never sinned. He never got jealous. He was never hateful. It was never, oh, you hurt my feelings, I'm going to get back at you. As a child, he never sinned. Is that incredible? I think it is. That means, and he would have had all the temptations and being with, playing with other children, and they could have picked on him and said things that weren't kind. He was never unkind. He was never hateful. Wow, that's a really hard thing to imagine, isn't it? He never, ever sinned. And this is an important fact, that he never sinned, because his spirit was always pure and his nature was like his Father's. He was holy. So you know how our nature is sinful. His nature was pure and holy. Wow. And he endured many attacks and temptations just like any other person, but his flesh and nature never failed. Jesus was led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And you know, Jesus had to resist. I'm sure he was tempted on many other times, but there was a big battle for 40 days in the wilderness. Before Jesus started his ministry, he was in a battle with the devil. And the devil tried to tempt him, and he tried to get to his flesh. You're hungry. Why don't you, look, you can turn these stones into bread. He tried to touch Jesus' flesh and get Jesus to do something in the flesh that would have meant he would have sinned. Jesus was going to be patient and wait for his Father. He had such faith in his Father that his Father would not let him down. Even though for 40 days, you imagine, not eating. And he was in the wilderness and he won this battle. And in the end, Satan left. And do you know what was amazing? I remember thinking about this a while ago. All these angels suddenly came and ministered to him. They were there. The angels were there. Heaven was there. They were all looking and seeing this battle. And soon as at the appointed time, the angels came and ministered and met and helped Jesus. and gave him food and drink and ministered to his body. Now, I want to show you this battle because we're all in this battle. The battle of the flesh. Our flesh keeps wanting its way. Isn't that true? We want our way a lot. I want this. I want that. Me, 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 me. I'm important. Not you, not other people. I am important. Oh, yeah, sometimes I'll be kind to this person. But we only have to sin once and that's it. Adam sinned once and it was all over. The game was over. Satan had control. And I'm going to show you this battle. I'm going to try to give you a picture of this. And we're going to pretend that this container is like you. You're a container. You contain. The flesh is part of you. This is part of your body. You can't get rid of it. It's not going to go away. This nature is not going to go away until our bodies are dead and buried. And then Jesus is going to give us a new body. But until then, well, guess what? We've got, if you believe in Jesus and you've asked Jesus into your heart, then the Lord Jesus asks the Father to send the Spirit into your heart, into your life. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives and he witnesses to the life of Jesus in us. So if you've asked Jesus into your heart, then the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And then there's an almighty battle because that's what I was going to read out too. This is the this is from Galatians 5. So I tell you, live by following the Spirit, then you will not do what your sinful selves want. Our sinful selves want what is against the Spirit. So how's that? When we listen to our flesh and our nature and we do what our nature wants, you are resisting the Holy Spirit. You are fighting against him. That means that we're pushing the Spirit away. And you know, God respects our choice. He won't push the Spirit. He won't force himself upon us. If you say, no, go away, or, you know, I want to do what I want, God is very gracious. He'll be patient and he'll recede. The devil doesn't. He keeps bombarding. He keeps bombarding our minds, telling us, yes, get what you want. You do this, you do that. You feel sorry for yourself. Anyway, our sinful selves want what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is against our sinful selves. The two are against each other, and that's in every one of you. If you're a Christian, you have this battle in you. So you must not do just what you please, but if you let the Spirit lead you, you are not under the law. When we believe in Jesus and we confess our sin and ask him to come into our lives inside us, Jesus, as I said, comes into our heart and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Now, I'm going to show you this battle. And this is the flesh. And the more we feed it, the bigger it gets. You know, it wants to fill us. But you know, Jesus has come into our life. If we believe in Jesus and confess our sins and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. I need you. I need you. Please come and live inside me. And because Jesus never ever sinned, when he asks the Father this, the Father can't refuse. This is what the Father wanted. He wanted Jesus to go and to die so that he could come and pray before the Father and ask for the Spirit to be given to us. Because the Father wants to be one with you, just as he is one with Jesus. And you know, Jesus loved going to the cross, even though it was a terrible thing to take our dirty sins, every sin, onto him. He did it. And that's why Easter is going to be very important. look forward to spending time on Easter thinking about all of this. So here we are. So this is the Spirit coming out like, and you know, whoops. But the Spirit wants to fill, He wants to control our lives. And you know what happens? As we give way to the Spirit and listen to the Spirit, this becomes less and less. And you know, Jesus says to take up the cross daily. Be flat, dead. That's what we need to do with our flesh every day. Die. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Take it up. And that's what it means, is dying to your flesh, to your human nature, and allowing the Spirit to fill us. But if we start to feel, if we get anxious about life and we get, we start to get worried about this or worried about that, or we start doing the wrong thing or doing our thing. There's a battle going on here. It's a strand. And Satan gets very busy telling you, you need to do what you want. You've got to do your thing. And he says, you need more money. You need more money. And the love of money is a root of all evil. Wow. And that's a really... Satan's determined. And the love of money pushes the Spirit aside. And we just pursue what we want. So there is a battle. And this battle is in every single person in this room. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And this battle is not going to end until our life ends on this earth. Yeah, wow, how's that, eh? But you know what? Learn your memory verses and know more and more about God and follow Him and walk in the Spirit and... Yeah, the self-light has to die, and we want to walk permanently in the Spirit. Let's see if we can get this. What's that? I hope I can make this. Oh, I just can't get a grip on this. It's a battle. It's a battle. Oh, and could we have the next slide? So guess what? If we walk in the Spirit and if we listen to the Holy Spirit and it says about keeping in step with the Spirit, that means we're going to be in step with Him. You know, we're walking together, like marching together. And this is what happens. But the Spirit gives love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law that says these things are wrong. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their own sinful selves. They've given up their old selfish feelings and the evil things they wanted to do. We get our new life from the Spirit, so we should follow the Spirit. We must not be proud. We must not make trouble with each other. We must not be jealous of each other. So... This is what Christmas is about. Christmas has opened up the door for us to have his nature, the nature of God, living inside us. And the Holy Spirit will, and you can ask the Holy Spirit, ask Him, show me, Lord, where I'm listening to the flesh. Show me where my flesh is getting control of me. Show me. And Lord, fill me with love. Ask Jesus to fill you with love, with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask the Father, fill me with the love of Jesus so that I'll love all my enemies, all people that are doing things against me, and fill me with love for everybody. When you're on the road, you know, someone, when I was driving here, someone came in so close, and the first thing I was going to think of, oh, I was going to get cross, and there was a judgment going in there. Oh, this person did the wrong thing. Oh, but you know what I felt? I thought, no, I've got to pray for him. I've got to pray for him and bless him and pray that he will, you know, that God will actually help this person improve his judgment, improve himself in the way he's driving, so that he'll be thinking of other people. And then I prayed for him that, Lord, bring, if this person is not in the kingdom of God, bring them into the kingdom of God. So we can pray in all these situations. When things are against us, we can pray for people. I pray that we would be released in love towards them and not with criticism, with anger and all that sort of thing. So this is what we really want, is we want the life of the Spirit released in us to fill us like this. And there's the flesh dead. It's been, you know, crucified there. And yeah, and I just must end with my favourite verse in the Bible, Galatians 2:20, where Jesus said, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, you know, he's dead. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave up his life for me. And the Holy Spirit will show you what Jesus is like and put his nature into you so that you can live life. And that's for every one of us. Okay. Let's just pray.